view.
Bad picture of themselves. Poor self-image. Poor esteem of oneself. Those people are not expected to perform on the high standards of people who have that. No, they can't be expected. And, you know, it beats me how when the so-called learning, the scientists, social scientists, whatever, behavioral scientists, when they are discussing problems of individuals, they can really drive the home point, They can really drive the point home to alarm and excite the public, the leaders, the nation, that something has to be done about this problem in society. This poor individual is suffering psychological damage, social rejection, because of social rejection, psychological damage. And they go on and go on. Poor self-image, no self-esteem. We need money to spend so we can treat these ills, and they get the money. But when it comes to a whole lot of people, a whole group, the masses, black, white, or green, or whatever color, when it comes to these big groups of poor people, they will point out to the fact, but they don't point to the fact until after one of the poor have already called the attention of the members of his own lot to the problem. They weren't talking about the poor self-esteem of blacks until Garvey. Frederick Douglass before him. Garvey, Marcus Garvey, Drew Alley, and many others, and especially the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They weren't talking about it until they made the point, that the black man has been deprived of a comfortable self-image. That he has been told lies about his own individual human worth. And that has to be corrected if the black man is to meet the challenges of modern times and competitive world society. There was a black who told, it was members of our lot that told us that. Before the social scientists, before the so-called learned of Western sciences came out and began to make issue to get help for the problems. Yes. And believe me, no matter how sincere these people are in education, in the social fields, no matter how sincere they are, they can't do but so much. Their ability to help the masses is greatly limited. They will spend on individual problems, but they will not spend in satisfying, significant amount on the problem of the masses. And if they start to spend to correct the malfunctions in the masses, and I'm not talking about blacks only now, the masses, the uneducated, the unestablished, the unrooted, the uprooted, pardon me. That's who I'm talking about. They will not, if they spend, pardon me, they will not spend, and if they spend, there will be right away a counter movement against their spending. And that movement will be secretly spending to undermine what they are trying to accomplish. I said secretly. You won't even be aware of what's happening. All of a sudden, you got freedoms that you didn't have before. All of a sudden, you got rights you didn't have before. All of a sudden, they're promoting liberty on your part that you didn't even have before. You didn't dream of. You were afraid to even think of. Telling you can freak off and do whatever you like. That's to take the masses away from the new health that comes to them. Now, I'm not telling most of you anything. You know this. But sometimes we have to be reminded that the masses are an unwanted lot. They're only wanted for servant kind of role. And if there's no need for them in servant roles, they are regarded as a burden on society. That's how the masses are regarded. Now, am I saying this to incite you or enrage you, to make you become dissatisfied or angry with the establishment? No! I'm saying this to get you to see that you must be responsible for yourself. And whatever help comes to you, accept it. If it comes clean, whatever help is extended to you and it comes clean from clean hands, accept it, be grateful to God and grateful to man, grateful to your fellow man. But don't depend on that. For great help comes in seasons. But you have to live throughout the year. Right? And my religion tells me that I should direct my attention to a blessed tree whose fruit comes in every season. And that ain't the world. That's not the world. The world fruits are seasonal. You remember the season of Kennedy, President Kennedy, and the season of President Johnson. And now you're in the season of President Reagan. So you know something about seasons, don't you? And I think the Christians say there are those who can read the face of the heavens, but can't read the signs of the season. They can look at the sky and say it's going to rain. They can see the clouds up there. And they believe most likely it's going to rain. Those are rain clouds. So they can prove this. It's going to rain, you know. And they see the clouds, the wind blowing the clouds, it's going to be fair weather. But they can't look down here where everything is happening all around them and say, hey, it's winter. It's winter in June. It is important to know that Scripture will focus on man as an identity. Is the answer for identity conflict, identity burden. The Scripture focuses upon man's identity as universal man, as common man. Now we know our identity differs depending on the interest we give ourselves to. You even identify a person as a male man. But that identity of his is not as significant, is not nothing like as consequential as his identity as a creature who's a member in the material universe and has a role, a purpose, and a destiny in that reality. That definition is much more significant, much more important for human sense of well-being, sense of direction, sense of purpose in life than the simple identification of him as a male man. But the male man, that's an identification, isn't it? He's a male man, you identify him as a male man. See, some of us think the identity that the traffic cop wants is the important identity. He's Negro, he's black, he weighs 198 pounds, Huh? Yeah, right. So that's the identity that you live by. You're black. You're burly. Are you frail? You know, that's the identity. I'm black and burly. I'm black and frail. I'm black and homosexual. I'm black and gay. I'm black and whatever, you know. So those are, I'm not making jokes. I'm very serious. So those are silly identities that we live with. I'm black and female. I'm black and man. I'm black and masculine. An ape is masculine. More masculine than you. You take your pants down. An ape is bad. Tough. Real burly. So that's not the identity that you should be proud of. I'm on my topic. Islamic formula for a successful life. The first step toward being successful is to see yourself. For the moment you see yourself, according to the Prophet, peace be upon him, you know your God. How can man know God and not know himself? You have to know yourself first. And you know yourself by looking at yourself in the cosmic reality. Oh, what is he talking about? Cosmic reality. Look, matter is continuous. Matter is continuous. There's a continuity to matter. Matter has a unity. Matter has a sameness. Matter makes up one family of matter. Stars and all the bodies and things that are in the universe. You are a citizen of the universe. You were a citizen of the universe before you became a citizen of Africa.
That's right.
A native son of Africa. You were a citizen of the universe before you became a citizen of the United States. You were first a citizen of the universe. Your identity begins in the universal reality. And that's where you find your essence. That's where you find your nature. God says he made man and patterned him on the pattern in which he patterned the whole universe. I hope we'll understand it as I go on. Allah says, with the revelation given to Muhammad the Prophet, speaking to the Jews in their stiff-neckedness, their stubbornness, that God revealed to them that they should enter the door prostrate. فَتْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا. Enter the door prostrate. You can enter the door prostrate. If you are ignorant and have been misguided, you can enter the door prostrate if the right picture is presented to you. What do we mean by prostrate? The Christians say it in a different way. Say, you cannot enter unless you come in as little babes. You cannot enter unless you come in as little babes. God created first for us the cosmic reality, stars, heavens, earth, all of this combined. It's one great, endless, material reality. Now, maybe you can't be as philosophical as I can be. You know, I heard a white man brag once, and he wasn't a high-class white man. He was a common white man. Common white man, but a white man of thought and principle. And he said in my presence, and I believe he said it really in my ears, but he wasn't looking at me, but I sensed that he just wanted me to hear what he was saying. See, sometimes a man can look at a person and can pretty well guess what kind of mind is in that person. And when you sense that a mind is in that person that may hear something that other minds won't hear, and you've been wanting to tell some black man that, the white man will tell that in the ears of that man that he think will listen. So this white man said, the white man has great imagination, and that has accounted for his success. That's what he said. White man has great imagination, and that's what has accounted for his success. You'd be surprised how help comes to people from unexpected places. Now, I agree with that man. Great imagination. Imagination that strains itself to comprehend unreachable boundaries of this real environment. Not imagination to see what it can do unreal. See, the fools have great imagination too. But they stretch their imagination to see what they can do that's unheard of. That's unidentifiable. That has no place in the continuity of reality. They want to do something that's freak way out. Way out. So their fiction is not appreciated by the critics of fiction. And they wonder, how come, you see how they, they do us, man? You know, man, you know the black man can write, man. All the heavy prose, the black man write, man. All the great fiction that we write, man. Hey, you know, when do we get any recognition for our popular books, man? The popular fiction of our writers, man. Your fiction is fictitious. It has no real reference. It's not a message of the truth in strange apparel. It's just strange through and through. We need to know these things so we can get our life in our own hands. So, dear beloved people, in talking about self-image, the importance of self-image for a healthy sense of well-being, the bigger picture is the situation for the smaller picture. If you put the small picture in isolation, you're in trouble. But if you take the small picture and put it in the framework of the big picture, now you got a relationship. Now you got reality connected. Now you got some way of defining and limiting, definition. See, the black man, he just keep on going with the definition of black. Yeah, black is beautiful, man. Now that's some light stuff to say about your identity as a race. Birds are beautiful. That's not a racial classification. Well, we needed that to come back. The negative thing that the white man said. Well, what did he say? He said we're ugly, man. Well, all you can do is just tit for tat. He hits you on the shoulder, you hit him on the shoulder. That's child stuff. He called you ugly, don't try to prove yourself beautiful. He called you ugly, try to prove yourself wealthy. Or try to prove yourself wise. Go for a bigger victory. He called you ugly, don't go for that little shallow victory that he's trying to influence you. Go for a bigger victory. So you niggas show ugly. Say, okay, keep quiet, brothers. Let's see, can we show him that we're sure wise. Because he'll let his daughter marry an ugly wise man. And while we, this facet of the puzzle. You have to understand this, that all white people are not beautiful. Now, they know that. When the white man thinking of himself as the ideal race with the ideal beauty and all that. He's aware that some of his people are hideous. He knows that there are some of his people so ugly that if he met them in high noon, he would be afraid. He knows that. But him lifting himself up as the ideal picture of human beauty, man's beauty, has influenced you to think that he ain't ugly. Sure, white people are beautiful, but white people are also ugly. With all that straight hair. A straight hair orangutan doesn't make him beautiful. But some straight hair blacks think they're okay, they're beautiful just because their hair's straight. So ugly, look like you should be apologizing every time you see somebody. But his hair's straight, so he's not even conscious of it. He's not even conscious. He doesn't even know he's ugly. And some old brainwashed victim of the white man's psychology from the women, she'll be fine. She doesn't see anything but his straight hair. She have a baby, the baby born bald-headed, and ain't nothing there but the orangutan. And she ashamed to tell people to come over and see my baby. Cause she mad a head of hair. So in order to be able to work safely with any concept, you got to see that concept in its reality. And every concept is born in the cosmic concept. It is the cosmic concept that has given birth to every other concept. Every animal, every plant, human being, every body, every stone, every crystal forms in the concept of cosmic, the context of the cosmic world. The white man has that understanding.
That's right.
He makes fiction.
That's right.
And he pictures his hero as cosmic hero.
Right.
They don't have United States citizenship. They got a citizenship ship in a cosmic galaxy.
Right.
Now you tell me that hero's concern is small as yours? No, your narrow picture of your identity makes you very small. Allah says, oh man, think not that your reality is bigger than the external reality. He patterned man's life and his reality on the pattern, the order of the universe. You have universal disciplines in your nature, in your being by nature. You have universal disciplines. And it is those universal principles, universal disciplines, pardon me, that account for your well-being. If you lose those universal disciplines, you will lose your sense of well-being. You will lose your well-being. So we need the big picture in order to identify the small one, to find the space of the small one, the value of the small one. We need to know the role of matter, cosmic reality, in order to appreciate the role of man. And Allah says that the heavens, the stars, the moon, all of those things glorify God. All of those things conform to his purpose. All of those things conform to his will. All of those things follow the nature and aim that he gave them. And for that reason, they remain. Their function is preserved for them, while man is constantly losing his function as the excellent creature that God created him to be. Racist view of ourselves did not come to us from common natural man. Came from man who gained the skill, the insight, and the skill to confuse reality and pass on pride to the fool that he himself pretends to buy, but does not buy, he only sells it. If you think racist America was able to achieve the greatness that America achieved in the last 100 years, you are yourself ignorant. It was not racist America that achieved that. No. They used racism as an excuse to keep you out of the competition, to keep you fighting them in a battlefield of nonsense. What the heck that difference make? You white, I'm black. Or I'm superior because I'm white. White is better than black. And then we go counter. I'm black and I'm better than you. Your skin burns in the sun, mine doesn't. You get sun rash, I don't. And then he comes back and he talks about you. That black is inferior, inferior is a mark of inferiority. And the people that sold the white masses and the black masses that idea, they are really speaking in a different context, a different framework of language altogether when they're talking about black man and white man. In that language, white man is enlightened man. Black man is dormant man. His mind hasn't shined forth. His intellect hasn't been illuminated. So he's dark in intelligence. The light of intelligence hasn't sparked and lit his body and lit his life and lit his world for him yet. So that's what they mean when they say, you black. Can't you sense that when white people in their intelligence circle, while on media, when they speak in an intelligence circle, can't you sense when they say black people that they're talking about something that you don't know? They're talking about, can't you sense that they have a meaning that you're not aware of? They're not talking about your black skin. They're talking about your failure to spend on your intellect, your failure to spend on your growth, your failure to come into enlightenment by straining your imagination. Your imagination not to find fiction and falsehood, not in that sense. You'll stretch your imagination to find unreachable boundaries of truth, to try to find the framework of truth for you in this external world of reality. The framework of your existence, the framework of your conscience. Man's conscience should go out and expand. It's expand your conscience, expand and expand and expand, to find self in creation, to find the place and role of self in creation, to see if you can see a direction for man in creation. And if you will stretch your imagination, your sensitivity, your senses, your sensitive nature, your sensitive being will feel what you can't see. And you will begin to feel a purpose that you can't articulate yet. But eventually, if you keep feeling out for it, you will gain the ability to articulate the purpose that you sense for yourself in this external reality. And that's the activity in the life of cosmic man. So go on and tell them a black Superman is born. Yes. And not just now. I think Frederick Douglass was a black Superman. But we need to turn the race on. We need to turn the masses of African American people on to this kind of thinking. to this kind of appreciation of image, of self-view, of self-identity, where we identify ourselves not in white man's history first, we identify ourselves in God's handiwork first, and find our worth and our purpose in God's handiwork first, and then measure the value that the white man want to give us. Huh? Within that great picture of our reality. Yes, that's what we must do. Stretch your imagination. Don't be afraid to think. What did Du Bois say? He says that the teachers, the educators of our black children, they will do a service to the extent that they teach their children to think. And we don't know what he means now. Most of us don't even know what he means anymore. When he says think, he means stretch the imagination. Go where the white man dare leave you. Go where he's afraid to leave you. Where he's afraid to lead you. He's afraid to lead us. Not only us, he's afraid to lead the masses. To the field of resources. Because if they get into the field of their resources that God has created for them, they will be able to compete and demand a share in every quarter of life. Not only that, they will not be restrained or restricted in travel by their American citizenship. As cosmic man, they will think nothing of going to see what resources that the black community can use in China. What resources that the black man can use in Kenya. See, they won't be afraid. But now, even though we know that as a citizen we have the right to go and do business on this whole earth, especially in any country that's not at war or not a declared enemy of America, of the American people. We have the right to go there. We have the right to go to Russia. Because Russia and America are cooperating now. We have the right to go to China. Because China and America are cooperating now. In sufficient degree to allow American citizens to go there. And long before it was known to the American public that China was a country that was moving closer to the American people and would allow the American people to form diplomatic relations and good relationship with China, long before that was even known, there were Southerners and Northerners down there in Canton, in the big shopping center, the big center for exports. I know because I was there as a member of a group in the American People China People Friendship group. I went along with that group of American people. And I saw in Canton, Southerners, they weren't there, they weren't in our group. They came there as businessmen. And while China was regarded by us in the United States as a place that we shouldn't visit, as a communist enemy, they were over there getting goods at a price that they couldn't get them elsewhere and bringing them back to the United States and selling them and making their position, business position, stronger in their communities because of their access to the markets of Canton. Or to the imports of Canton. Do we have the courage to do that? No. It takes cosmic man to have that kind of courage. See, in fact, most of us, though we are accepted by law as citizens of the United States with the rights of every other citizen in this country, most of us have that chain elephant syndrome. You know, the white man say, "You free." Say, "Look, ain't no chain." go out so far and back up. And it's hard to go forward. Thank you very much. It's very hard to go forward. I better pull this on a living thing and see what happens to it first. No, I trust this man. I sleep in his house. Where is Reggie? There you are. I sleep in his house. But you didn't bring that water from the faucet, did you? No, I don't trust that. Yeah. Where you got it? Out of that box? You brought that? You just called? You yourself? Oh, yeah, I'll drink it. Ah, thank you. Excuse me. Oh, I have a hidden security, too. See, yeah, you got to be careful. Look, if you say things that make people shake, don't trust the people that shake. Because it's human nature to defend the mortal life. And if he's shaking, his mortal life is in trouble. So no matter how good his heart is, look how they weep after they sent Jesus up. Not that we agree with the story, but I'm coming from Christian reports, you know. Look how they weep after they done set the man up. Set the poor righteous man up and then weep. As he went up on for the bad treatment, they were weeping. Say, Peter wept, stepped by the doorstep and wept or something like that. And he was the main one that betrayed him. Judas and Peter, right? Peter said, I don't know him. Now, I'm telling you, that's a denomination that I would never join, a Peter denomination. That's if I was out shopping for a religion. I would not join a Peter denomination. Because he betrayed the man while he was living. What can you say to me to convince me that after he's gone, Peter gonna be better?
Tell it.
If he was afraid while Christ was living, peace be upon Christ, yeah. Nothing can convince me that he's gonna be better after Christ is gone. Now, from cosmic man, we look at Earth, the home of the human being. Huh? Earth. Allah says the Earth is the place where you were formed, the place where you will live, the place where you will die, and the place from which you will be raised up again. So Earth is home, isn't it? Earth is home. We're narrowing now. We come from cosmic boundaries, the big picture. Now we see the Earth in that big picture. We're getting closer now to the boundaries of human influence. But human influences are favored by cosmic influence. It is cosmic influence that gives really muscle, purpose, etc. to human influence. Yes. But now we're coming into the smaller picture of human influence, the Earth. Our religion teaches us to identify as a member in the body universe. It teaches us to identify in the body Earth. As a member in the body Earth, that this is our home, the Earth, and that the Earth is the place for us realizing our growth. God says he will succeed, he will be successful, who will spend on himself, or who will cause his own soul to grow in its enlightenment and in its regardfulness, or its piety. Piety is regardfulness. A nation falls when it loses regardfulness. A people will fall when they lose regardfulness. And now you see it's an epidemic in the society of the ignorant. No regard for anything. The manipulators who manipulate the life of the ignorant to save them from the threat of the ignorant. They have influenced you to lose regard for everything. They brought movies out to make joke of God. They used to have such respect for religion. They made movies to make joke of the priests, make joke of the nuns. Huh? Yeah. Then they arm the children with authority over the parents. They have imparted to the children ideas about their rights that have made children lose regard for even thus for their parents. They think the parents are stupid. Who? What influence in society have made our children lose respect for their parents, lose respect for the grown-ups? That's not our doing. Our common weaknesses